Namaste. The context of this little talk, which may stretch on to two or three talks, is that today a WhatsApp video was circulated. Short video. It was an image of Sri Aurobindo, photo of Sri Aurobindo, but the eyes were moving. It was like a video shot. So if you click on the play button, the eyes were moving. Somebody thought he has done a good thing or a smart thing. You know, nobody has ever seen Sri Aurobindo's eyes actually in action. So he thought he's doing a very intelligent thing. Whatever be the reason, we don't know. But anybody who saw it would immediately make out it's awful. Because eyes are the key of a human being to start with. Human beings are not, unki pehchan is not by the face. It's the eye that is the mirror of the soul. So when you look at, you know, say Sri Aurobindo and the mother, one of the things that strikes you is the eyes. So the form of Sri Aurobindo was there, actual photograph, but the eyes were somebody else's. And through the use of artificial intelligence, that new technology, the whole video was, it was obviously fake, like many fake things which come on WhatsApp. So normally one would say, oh, it is, you know, meaningless. Somebody else would say, oh, nice, somebody has made like this. But we must understand yoga is not, it's a science. It's not just a, you know, with good devotional feeling. Devotional feeling should always understand that there is also behind it a truth, working of truth. Now, if somebody would have read Sri Aurobindo and the mother and understood the workings of the world play, one would have immediately understood that this is falsehood. And falsehood of a very dangerous kind, because it's being spread through the form and persona of the divine. This is well known in ancient yogas. You see, in Ramayana we see that when Ravana at one point, he wants to confuse Sita ji. So he fabricates the form of Lord Rama and says, see, I have killed him. This is his head and here is the form. But she knows the difference. And the moment she sees, she knows that this is not Rama. Same thing we see in Bhagavad Puran, where there is a man called Pondrak, and he assumes the form of Krishna Vasudev, four arms, everything. And he has a good following. People start, you know, that he is the real Vasudev. And then eventually, Sri Krishna has to come and finish him. In mother's life, she reminds us of an experience where the mother at one point says, there are four asuras of falsehood, who want to oppose God's work. And this is the subject today, but just the background. So one of them, the most dangerous, who is the root of everything, falsehood, which is planted deep into inconscience. So this falsehood assumed the form of Sri Aurobindo. And now, you know, when you say assume the form, there'll be some details here and there, which obviously will be missing. And he came in front of mother, and the mother immediately recognized. But for her, it was the dilemma that this is, you know, Sri Aurobindo's form. So she understood what he is trying to. Then she cautioned all the disciples that there is this asura, the being of falsehood, who has assumed Sri Aurobindo's form. And in his name, he want to create a religion which will be very harsh and cruel. And then she cautions, but all must know that this is not true, because the Lord is great and kind and compassionate and benevolent and merciful. You see, the master thing about Sri Aurobindo is compassion. That's why he did the whole tapasya for everybody, because he knew the state in which human beings live. That was the reason why Sri Aurobindo was engaged in this tapasya. Another example was, after which we'll come to that, is Nalinida's experience. The same being came to Nalinida. Nalinida is again a very great sadhak. And for a moment, Nalinida could not immediately, because, and he has lived intimately with Sri Aurobindo right from revolutionary days. If there is one person who has accompanied Sri Aurobindo right from the revolutionary days throughout, right up to, you know, 1950 and beyond, is Nalinida. So this being came assuming Sri Aurobindo's form and asked, and Nalinida was about to do pranam and bow at the feet, and then he suddenly said, bow at my feet. And Nalinida recognized that Sri Aurobindo would never ask anybody to bow at his feet. He knew each and every aspect of Sri Aurobindo, that never would Sri Aurobindo ask somebody, bow to my feet, or any such slightest movement of where even a trace of ego can come in. See his writings, how impersonal they are. So immediately then he looked at the feet and he realized they are not Sri Aurobindo's feet. And he writes at after that, Nalinda writes in a word about falsehood. Falsehood is not only that which opposes truth, which of course not. Falsehood is also that which imitates truth. Opposition, we understand. Ravana is in another camp and Rama is here. We understand he is opposing Rama. Easy to recognize. I often say this, you know, a serpent, you recognize a serpent and you. But a human being who is having the consciousness of a serpent is very dangerous. And if that human being comes with a smile and you know, you are off guard. So in Savitri, there are two whole cantos dedicated to this. And imitating the divine, this is what we see today. Even in Shurbindo's movement, several times I have cautioned about it, that people should be so careful. Gurudom starts and you know, there are people who become gurus. We are mediating between you and Shurbindo and the mother. All this is nonsense. The mother is sufficient unto herself. We are sharing the joy of it. That's the only thing. Or people get inspired, turn towards something. But in this yoga, there is nothing like conversion. There is nothing like somebody who has become a guru. Because mother and Shobindo are not physically present. These are the, we should be very careful about. So coming to this subject, when Shobindo was asked that, what are these hostile forces you talk about? He has talked about them quite given their place where it is. Otherwise, in traditional yoga, you see the practice and you are taught a method and you do it. The rest is all put into dumb categories of karma. If you something wrong happens, accident, karma. If something fever you develop, it's a karma. But what are these forces that are active in this world? So Shurbindo says that both mother and Shurbindo, they have different things I'm speaking of. I mean, same thing, but in different context. So they say that, you know, this atmosphere in which we live, human atmosphere, we don't realize. But at one place he says it's filth. If you look at the thoughts, feelings, suggestions, will, impulses, just people speak nicely. But inside, beings he saw who wore a human form but harbored within them all that was ugly, wicked and vile. He could see through it. In high professions, it's not like, oh, somebody is from Harvard, he must be a very nice person. Somebody walks in suit, comes down from Mercedes, sir, please come, opening the door. Somebody takes you to, you know, Taj Hotel for a dinner and, you know, what a sophisticated person. Behind all this mask, there is the wicked and the vile. And they could see all this so easily, so clearly. And so they have cautioned all of us how we should be careful, both in our personal sadhana. It's not like we have to start seeing it. That he cautions. But first we must understand their working. And when we see, read the Ramayana, you will see something very interesting. Wherever the rishis are doing tapasya, suddenly you will see that there are, these asuras and rakshasas, all they come, they try to pour all kinds of things, wine and meat, and try to spoil the fire. Now this is true of the inner story, the fire of aspiration. These beings come. Now in the picture it's shown very grotesquely from outside. So you're off guard. Oh, they will come, we will see them. They don't come like that. They come as suggestion. What is there? You can drink, enjoy. After all, life is about, freedom. What is there if you drink? I mean, you are being too traditional, you are being too orthodox, conventional, every kind of logic. Except the one reason. So that's why when mother was asked that, why, what is the problem with drinking? She said, it purely scientifically she explained. Your brain slowly will not be able to receive the light. It's up to you. Rest is up to you. So the principle is lost and they will give all kinds of suggestions. And in the process take you far, far away. And there have been so many instances, even break the sadhana. And Shobindo described that this working of the hostile forces is well known in the field of yoga. And that's why it is said, hard is the path, sharp as a razor's edge. Shurashya dhara, anishita duratya, kavyo vadanti. It's not like they didn't know. See, the yogis and rishis of the Upanishad, they didn't just, okay, come, learn a technique. I'll give you some lectures, take my CDs, and you are coming with big posters. It's not that, it's a serious business. It's like you are working in a nuclear plant much more sophisticated. Where if you are not guarded, you will end up with cancer and you will say, "Arey, what was wrong with me?" So they caution us against these hostile forces whose working is all through in this human world. They keep human beings in their grip, but we as human beings don't know them because we are feeding from them. That's why when mother was asked, why don't you smash this asura falsehood, she says, humanity will get smashed. Because they are feeding and you see telling lies. This is a way of life for human nature. We don't even think about it that there is something wrong. But telling lies is the most innocuous forms of falsehood. It's nothing. There are more dangerous forms. The most dangerous is where it stands in the way of the divine, diverts, perverts, distorts, all kinds of things these forces do, and very often assuming divine names. And Shobindu in Synthesis of Yoga cautions, and how they will draw you sometimes through miracles. So you're drawn, are a miracle, because you'll see some of these places where mass conventions, where miracle healing is taking place. Be very careful, because these are not forces of truth. Forces of truth release in you the power of yoga. Where does Shri Krishna says, Yogishem Bahameham, I'll take care of your needs if you turn to me. Does he say, whatever you ask henceforth will be given to you? Shri Krishna teaches the path of yoga, which will free us from ignorance. That's what yoga is about. Of course, miracles happen in everybody's life, but don't stress on that. Otherwise, one will be waylaid. So, and as long as human beings live in their net, breathe their whole thing, I've often given this example. Durga Puja is going on. Next, there is Bollywood songs going on. Then there is Golgappa stall. Keep it in its place. Nothing wrong with that. But don't mix up things like that. So, they have cautioned us so that when we walk, start walking the way, especially the moment human beings want to come out of this net of falsehood, because they realize that this is not joy I am having. This is, I am being killed slowly by the poison sting of death. And I am thinking that, such a wonderful life it is. But I am being dragged into their net far, far away. So then they become active. Shobindu describes, she prowls around every little camp where there is light. That is the story of Putna coming to Shri Krishna. They know that here is a little light to escape. And in this yoga, which is not only about escape, but a change of their den. In their den, you have to change things. They are super active. And basically what they do is they create confusion. They create disorder, division, disharmony. Tremendous clashes. They want to interrupt the caravans of the light. And inwardly, they try to finish will, paralyze the will. You want to do, but you say, I can't do. Paralyze the will. Or they will throw thoughts. You are unfit. You're no good. You can't. They'll make you forget the grace. Mother says that. They'll bring these ideas. You are unfit for yoga. Whereas they'll make you forget the grace, which is infinite. So, paralyzing will. Paralyzing self-doubt. Paralyzing doubt about the divine. Depressions, despair, take human beings on the brink of suicide, and actually that hostile suggestion, suicide is because of that. Abnormal depression, swings of, you know, crying and tears and spells. Or sometimes they will take another route, aggrandize you. They'll take you through a seemingly royal road, crashed on the highway. You are driving the car, and actually this happens during accidents also. You are driving a motorcycle or car. And suddenly the youngsters especially, you know, they get the thrill. They want to pace up. And mother said, this is that asura who likes to cause accidents. So what he does is he makes you feel thrilled. You are going fast and everybody, oh, look at it. You know when people go like, oh, look at it. And then they will suddenly put a blinder over your eyes and you meet with an accident. Same thing happens in inner life. So how do they act? Second way, megalomania. I am the chosen instrument of the mother. Just because everybody is saying, don't fool yourself, you know. The divine mother is capable of doing her work. And whole creation is her instrument. If today you are in something which she is pouring through you, it's nothing to do with you. It's the divine mother. That's why humility is the safety on the path. Mother, it's not me. It's not that you have to tell everybody, no, it's not me, it's grace. Even that can become an ego. But inwardly one should know that they are praising me. Okay, but mother, it's you. Inwardly, one, it should not get into the head that I am a chosen instrument, I am somebody of the mother, without me the work, you see how important I am doing this, I am doing that. I have heard people say these things. And they don't realize that they are going nose diving towards crash. So humility, sincerity, vigilance, sincerity will make you see very early. So one of the first things that happens as an action of yoga is that one develops discernment. Discernment is after reason. Reason is highest in human beings. So what yoga does is it brings out of reason. Reason is good. It helps to keep us away from many such things. Like WhatsApp Gyan, you immediately, you know, reason applies itself. No, how can it be? But discernment emerges out of reason and it tells you, no, there is something amiss here. This is false. This is true. So it gives you, it's a faculty which shows you something is aggrandizing me. It's like if somebody is praising you too much. Discernment will say, immediately it'll become caution. Those who don't have discernment, they'll say, he's such a nice person, isn't it? He's such a nice person, you know, praising me so much. But people will, discernment will suddenly become conscious. What's wrong? Otherwise, they'll think, see, somebody has qadar of me, qadar daan. Nobody understood how nice I am, how wonderful I am. So these forces find so many ways, doors of the ego. But there are three doors through which they enter characteristically. They are called as the doors to hell. But it is written here, please come, you are welcome. All the pleasures of the world we'll give you. One we know, Shubhendu has used a word in Savitri, night booths for the repair of vice. Have you seen the difference between day and night? The thoughts that come in during day and the thoughts that come at night. Time of the day. So you see the difference. So night they are active. You have night clubs. I wondered why don't they have day clubs? They have a license. They have a license, no? Why they don't use the word day clubs? It's all about night. And at night in the cover people don't like to be seen. That we are going into a nightclub. So they, you know, go stealthily. And then they will, I don't know what they watch there. But this is the first door. This kind of a, there is a healthy sexuality. When people love each other and sexuality is an expression of their love, is human. It's not evil. In fact, it's even something which can turn out to be beautiful. But when there is no love, and it's sexuality for the sake of sex, for that pleasure, for thrill, telling lies so that, you know, I can just have a little fun. This is one door. Sex, you have been the cautions. Not sex which is, you know, or perverted sex. All these are facilis descensus, like the road to hell. This is a normal healthy sexuality which human beings have. In balance, it's, you know, when two people really deeply love, so physical becomes a last means of expression. So we see in Savitri, that limb cries for answering limb. So this is one door. Second door, this is still something which when mother speaks about, you know, men, countries, continent, the choice is imperative, truth or the abyss. She was asked, what is the abyss? She, knowing human nature, she didn't mention about this, but she said, lust for power and greed for money. Second door is money. You start with, we need money. After some time, there is no end to the need and you are drawn. Again, money is needed. Of course, you need money, not only for your everyday life, but to make a decent living, to make a beautiful home. You need money. But when you enter into money for the sake of money, like sex for the sake of sex, entire, it's called a dark web, no? This whole pornography and all this, dark web. So same thing, and look at the web. It has created even ways that you can blot out the history and everything. But Chitragupta is there, man. Subconscious. Your subconscious is noting everything. It doesn't matter whether people see it or not, but your subconscious has received those impressions. And it's got such a powerful grip that this pleasure will keep on drawing you. Same thing with money. After some time, as Shubhendu says, it's not you who possess money, money possesses you. So money gets into the head and money starts, you know. All, see, the moment people have a little excess money, what do they do with that money? they begin to, you know, all kinds of things which are of a nefarious nature. Because they have the wealth. So this is the second aspect. And the third is the lust for power. Political corridors. All kinds of... Now this is not just... Politics is not just about parties. In everyday life, I want to occupy that position. I must please this man who is my boss and who will take me to power. So these three doors, sex, wealth and ambition, they are three doors through which one enters into this pit. Now, traditional yogis, that's why I advise you not to enter there. So you know this stress on brahmacharya, which ultimately got reduced. Brahmacharya is much more than sexual aspect, it's just a small part. But you know, they stay away from women, which was, of course, women also. Nowadays, men are worse people. But it was like, because generally, and they were not allowed men and women mixing together, you know, because of this reason they used to take this precaution. Then there was this money. Don't, you know, offer the money. Don't get into that movement. And the third was power, politics. So people were advised to renounce, sacrifice. This was the principle. But this is okay for escape, but you have to conquer the world. These are the three forces which are holding the world. There are so many experiences of the mother which speak of that. Well, they are not releasing the wealth. You tell people to give wealth for all kinds of causes, they will give with their names and all. But where a genuine divine work, very difficult to get money. So, Shobindu says you have to conquer it. You can't do that old method that I'll stay away from all these things. But you have to conquer it and transmute it. So in this yoga, they attack much more because they know that this fellow is not only escaping from our reign, but actually coming to take hold over us. So this is the first part of these forces that oppose. Now I must add before we close this part, we'll come to the next part, their action and how to deal with them. So three kinds of forces oppose us, and Shobindu and the mother both have spoken about it. There are forces of universal nature. They are not bad. But they are there which, if you take up yoga, then they will come in the way. And they will try to stop you from going further. And so again, you know, that excessive sexuality turns on to the adverse. Normal sexual relation is okay for normal life. But if you want to take up the life of yoga, you have to work towards transmuting. It's not that from today I am a yogi. No, you have to work towards mastery. That's the process. And this is the process towards that. We are not entering into that. So there are forces of universal nature. Anger, again, universal nature. And anger can become an instrument of the hostile forces. But at the same time, anger is something which is part of universal nature. But if you want to take up yoga, you have to work upon it. Same with moha. So kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsar. Jealousy and all these things. Jealousy is such a dangerous thing. One place, Amal Kiran describes an experience. I think today somebody had posted it. That he was going to meet the mother. He used to stand below mother's door, he'll open, he'll see. And normally she would smile at him. But mother must have wanted to teach him something. So Chinmayi, mother's personal attendant, she was also standing there. So mother came out of the door, straight away took Chinmayi and took her inside. And Amal Kiran is standing below and she didn't look at him. He says, I felt so jealous. And then he says that the staircase, suddenly when I looked at the stair, they looked like a pit, black pit. And then he realized, oh my God, this is jealousy. It's like a pit. And then he says, then he prayed to mother, and by mother's grace, after that, he says, it stopped affecting him. So again, this was a way of the yoga force, that in action of the yoga force, these things which are hidden inside, the shadripus, they are suddenly raised up to be annihilated. Another classic example Shobindu speaks of is in the Gita Bhumika, the introduction to the Gita, not essays on the Gita. This was part of Bangla writings. Amazing first six chapters and a background Shobindu has given to the Gita. It is available as Bangla writings, but the English translation is available. Beautiful. So there he says, you know, suddenly before the war, Arjuna has excessive moha and attachment. He didn't experience it in Virat Yudha. But he has suddenly overcome with attachment, excessive attachment. Or we see the story of Jadbharat towards a deer. So there he says that it was Sri Krishna who brought it out of him. Because he knew in the middle of the war, if he says, oh, this is Bhishma, then it will be dangerous. So he brought it out and cleared it. So many such things come out of nature like that, which are hidden when we take to yoga. That's why yoga, you have to have a calling. Otherwise, they are hit part of nature. People feel jealous. They don't even call it jealousy. They say, naturally, I will feel like this. Nature is okay, but in yoga, that nature, ambition, I want to be, you know, there. Fine, go through that human experience. Nothing wrong. It's not about good and bad. Go through it. You will one day realize, feel whatever experiences will come. Your soul will be ready to take up the higher journey because you will feel drawn towards it. But when you take to yoga and these things will come out, they will come out. So, kama, krodha, lobh, moha, mad of power, lust for power, matsar, jealousy, all these things will come out. And the most dangerous of all, fear. Fear is the worst kind of impurity. It's not even mentioned in these Shadripos. Mother says it's the worst kind of impurity. Why? Because fear means complete absence of faith. It's just the opposite of faith is fear. Fear is a kind of distrust in the divine and it will justify itself. See, what happened to that person, this person? You should have, and they won't use the word fear. They will give all kinds of stories, examples to convince you that fear is fine. Precaution is a different thing. Fear is dangerous. You can take precautions if you like. But fear is something that corrodes the soul. Mother says, if you have fear, you are not fit for doing yoga at this point of time. Fear is so dangerous for yoga. So all these things will rise up in revolt. Oh, he's escaping from a dragnet? So they will start. Otherwise, do people even bother? Oh, they'll say very laughingly, oh, I have fear of heights. Oh, I have fear of snakes. Cool about it. And in inner life, you will see those snakes actually. Then if you have fear, then first snake you see, you'll say, my God. Yeah, they're there and they are sign of hostile forces. Pythons, python agonies, all this, you know, you'll encounter because your inner vision will open because of the yoga shakti, or you will become conscious in the dream worlds and you'll see these, encounter these things. And all these is universal nature. The second is adverse and hostile forces. What do adverse forces do? They press upon universal nature and make them exaggerated. Normal sexuality, they'll make it excessive in nature. Normal anger, but they will make you greater than Durvasa in terms of your anger. Normal attachment, but, and you'll wonder why this man is practicing yoga has got so attached, because they will press upon the, you know, and you'll say, I love. Love and attachment are two very different things. And so, you know, they will press upon and create that. So adverse forces press upon nature and they will make you feel miserable, obviously, because you are undertaking. But hostile forces, they will completely abnormal action. There are four ways. Unconscious, they'll make you completely unconscious about your own defects. Everybody else has problem, but I am directly guided by the divine. Gone. Completely unconscious. Unconsciousness is one of them. Suffering. Oh, God has made me for suffering. Only if I suffer, I can go toward the divine. Mother says, please don't hold such gospels. You don't have to suffer. You are going to the way of Anandamaya. He is carrying you. Why should you suffer? Suffering is because of these forces. They will make you suffer for no reason. Even when everything is all right, they will show you one cause. See, that corner, uski sari meri sari se jyada safed kyun. Something they will bring. That little blot on the skin, they will exaggerate and make you suffer. Even for imaginary things, nothing has happened. But they'll make you suffer. Oh, you know what? My life is so miserable. Why? What to do? I have pain in the knees, you know. How old are you? 75. But I have had such, you know. See how much I am suffering. I said, what is the problem? I have pain in the knees. I said, you have pain. Pain and suffering are two different things. Oh, is it so? Pain is physical, suffering is psychological. No, but I can't, you know, sit for meditation. I said, sit on a chair and meditate. Who is preventing you from sitting for meditation? You don't have to sit cross-legged. So, this is the second way. And then the third is the asura of death. Death is division. Denial. There is no God. Only death is true. That's why when people are carried away, they're told Ram Naam Satya. In spite of this, remember that God alone is true. But death will make you feel, no, no, see, what transformation. Look at it. I am the fellow. Where is God? There is no God. Do you see God? Do you see God? Do you see God? So death, it denies completely, throws doubts, all these. And finally, the falsehood, which we have spoken about. So these are the four fellows. And the only way before we close this part is they have a right even over those who are going on this path. Why? Because why they are allowed? They come into existence because of the involution of consciousness. That should be explained. But why they are allowed? They are allowed because they make the realization much more perfect. One little weak spot and they will clap a Himalaya. You try to, you know, cover it with the hand and they will say, hey, what are you hiding? Just show. And then they say, see, you have a spot here. Then next time you'll wear full sleeves to hide that spot. Again they will come. Something they'll do. So they are allowed because they challenge our sincerity. They challenge our patience, our faith, but thereby increase it. But unfortunately, there are many who in one life sometimes get totally caught and they fall only for one life. Never a permanent damage to those who have turned to the divine. But beautiful life which, you know, can get totally waylaid. So only were safe who kept God in their hearts. Courage their armor, faith their sword, they must walk. Children and soldiers of the armies of light. And when you walk through that passage, Shobindu gives us a prayer. Here must the traveler of the upward way pause or pass slowly. Shobindu describes in his own sadhana once, you know, this kind of attacks came. He says, for 1 year, his whole sadhana was interrupted. And he says that he took it as a... He says, don't get eager, over-eager at that time. Oh, I'm not able to meditate. I'm not able to do this, do that. He says, for 1 year, his sadhana was completely interrupted. And he says, at my stage. So imagine. So if they come. So patience, perseverance. He says, these are the qualities that will help you during that time. So patience and perseverance, that's how that famous poet has written. They too serve who wait and, you know, who wait and for the divine. So sometimes you can do nothing. You can't move. Just wait upon the divine grace. It will come. Even if appearances are dark, what do you do when there is pitch night? You wait for the sun. You have no choice. So you wait for the sun, knowing fully that sun will come. So this is why faith, will, patience, perseverance. So here must the traveler of the upward way. Because the moment you try to accelerate, they will again pull you. Then you will get very disheartened that you are not able to do anything. So he says, here must the traveler of the upward way pause. Pause to see where are the weak spots. Or pass slowly, ma, each step. Pause or pass slowly. For even the children or soldiers of God, they have a right. And then he says, a prayer upon their lips and the great name. A prayer upon their lips. Don't try to fool, cheat. Others though, people try, but yourself and the divine. No, mother, see, I am such a wonderful person. Why it is happening in my life? Okay, forget about wonderful and all that. Maybe because you thought you are a wonderful person. So he's showing us, you are a child, be a child. A prayer upon the lips and the great name. For daring hell's kingdom winds the heavenward road. None can reach heaven who has not passed through hell. If you don't want Mahabharata, forget about Krishna. If you are afraid of Ravana and this thing, let him be happy. I am happy here. then forget about Ram Raj. So this is the inner war, he says. Man must win or miss. Man must, this adversary lost in the human heart. Man must conquer or miss his higher fate. This is the inner war without escape. So this is the background of the whole thing. And we'll take up the next in the next session. Namaste.